Section 5. Europe Encounters America. An American Story. In 1492, Christopher Columbus led 90 sailors on a voyage into the unknown. On September 9th, Columbus noted in his log, "This day we completely lost sight of land, and many men sighed and wept for fear they would not see it again for a long time." As the voyage dragged on, the sailors grew nervous and began plotting mutiny. Columbus wrote, "All day long and all night long, those who are awake and able to get together never cease to talk to each other in circles, complaining that they will never be able to return home. I am told that if I persist in going onward, the best course of action will be to throw me into the sea some night." Then, on the morning of October 12th, the Pinta's lookout, Rodrigo de Triana, let out a joyous cry, "Tierra, tierra, land, land." At dawn, a relieved and triumphant Columbus went ashore. He believed he had arrived in the Indies, islands located southeast of China. Adapted from The Log of Christopher Columbus. The Vikings arrive in America. Although his historic journey set the stage for permanent European settlement in the Americas, Christopher Columbus was not the first European to arrive there. Strong archaeological evidence credits that accomplishment to the Norse, or Vikings, a people who came from Scandinavia. Beginning in the late AD 700s, Viking ships called longboats began to venture outward from their homeland. Most headed south, some to trade with the wealthier peoples to the south and others to raid their settlements. Still others braved the violent North Atlantic Ocean and headed west. In 1001, Leif Erikson and 35 Vikings explored the coast of Labrador and stayed the winter in Newfoundland. Although the Vikings later tried to set up colonies in the region, their attempts failed, in large part because the Native Americans opposed them. Unlike later European colonists, the Vikings did not have better weapons than those of the Native Americans, who outnumbered them. It would take a new series of European expeditions, embarking in the 1400s and 1500s, from points much farther south, to establish a permanent European presence in the Americas. Reading check. Examining. How do we know that Columbus was not the first European in the Americas? Spain sends Columbus west. For more than 400 years after the Vikings abandoned their settlements in North America, there is no convincing evidence that Europeans traveled to the Americas. In the mid-1400s, the Renaissance renewed European interest in the world's geography. With many European states eager to find a sea route to Asia, a few persons, including an Italian navigator named Christopher Columbus, became interested in sailing west across the Atlantic. A new geography. By the 1400s, most educated Europeans knew that the world was round. On the most accurate European maps of the time, however, only the Mediterranean, Europe, the Middle East, and Africa's northern coast showed any detail. Then a book appeared that revolutionized European exploration. 12 centuries earlier, a Greek-educated Egyptian geographer and astronomer named Claudius Ptolemy had drawn maps of a round world, complete with 360 lines of longitude, 1 degree apart, projected onto a flat surface. Ptolemy's geography was rediscovered in 1406 and printed in 1475. It became very influential, and its basic system of lines of latitude and longitude is still used today. European mariners also consulted the work of a 12th century Arab geographer named Al-Idrisi, who had traveled widely in the Middle East. In 1154, Al-Idrisi published a geographical survey of as much of the world as was then known to Europeans and Muslims. By studying the maps of Ptolemy and Al-Idrisi, Western mariners finally obtained a reliable idea of the geography of the eastern African coast and the Indian Ocean. Columbus's plan. Despite its usefulness, Ptolemy's geography had seriously underestimated the distance that each degree of longitude represented, making the Earth seem much smaller than it actually was. Basing his own calculations on Ptolemy's, Christopher Columbus predicted with wild optimism that the end of Spain and the beginning of India are not far apart, and it is known that this sea is navigable in a few days' time with favoring wind. Columbus sought Portuguese financial backing to make a voyage across the Atlantic to Asia. In 1484, he applied to the King of Portugal, who referred him to a committee of experts in navigation. Basing their decision on sources other than Ptolemy's maps, the scholars reasoned correctly that Columbus had greatly underestimated the distance to Asia. Furthermore, when news arrived in 1488 that Bartolomeu Dias had successfully rounded the southern tip of Africa, the Portuguese lost all interest in supporting Columbus. For the next few years, Columbus tried to win backing from other rulers. His brother, Bartholomew, a respected mapmaker in Europe, tried and failed to secure financing for Columbus's expedition from the rulers of England and France. Having no success with them, he spent 6 years trying to persuade King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain that his scheme would bring them wealth, empire, and converts to Catholicism. Finally, in 1492, after it became clear that Portugal was about to reach Asia by going east around Africa, Ferdinand agreed. Turning point. The first voyage. Columbus and his three ships, the Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, finally left Spain in August 1492. First, he sailed south to the Canary Islands to take on fresh supplies. Then he embarked on the harrowing voyage westward across the mysterious and frightening Atlantic, until, unaware of where he was, he reached the Caribbean and landed in the Bahamas, probably on what is today Watling Island. There, for the first time, he encountered the Taino people, a part of the Arawak. He called the people Indians because he thought he had reached the fabled Indies. Columbus noticed that some of the local people had a small piece of gold hanging from a hole which they have in their nose. After several attempts to ask where the gold had come from, he learned that there was a king who had large vessels of it and possessed much gold. Columbus then headed deeper into the Caribbean, determined to find this gold he had heard about. He found the island of Cuba, and he also found Hispaniola, which today is divided into the countries of Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Columbus mistakenly concluded that Cuba was the coast of China, and that Hispaniola was Japan. Columbus and his sailors felt equal parts admiration and curiosity toward the Native Americans that they encountered in the Bahamas and Hispaniola. Columbus wrote the following of the Arawak: "They are artless and generous with what they have, to such a degree as no one would believe but he who had seen it. Of anything they have, if it be asked for, they never say no, but do rather invite the person to accept it, and show as much lovingness as though they would give their hearts." Quoted in 500 Nations. For their part, the Arawak must have been equally curious about the white-skinned, bearded Spanish. Columbus recorded his interpretation of their reaction to him and his men. "The people kept coming down to the beach, calling to us and giving thanks to God. Some brought us water, some food. Others, seeing that I did not wish to go ashore, swam out to us. One old man climbed into the boat, and the others, men and women, kept shouting, 'Come and see the men who have come from heaven. Bring them food and drink.'" Quoted in The Voyage of Christopher Columbus. Like other Native Americans, the Arawak had an intense spiritual life. To Columbus, however, they appeared to have no religion. He predicted that they would become Christians very easily. On Christmas Eve, Columbus's flagship, the Santa Maria, struck a reef off Hispaniola and broke apart. He built a small fort called La Navidad on the island and left 40 crew members to search for gold while he headed home with his remaining ships. In April 1493, Columbus made a triumphant return to the Spanish court with gold, parrots, spices, and Native Americans he had brought back. The king and queen awarded him the titles Admiral of the Ocean Sea and Viceroy and Governor of the Indies. Ferdinand and Isabella listened closely as Columbus promised as much gold as they want if their highnesses will render me a little help. Columbus's later voyages. Less than 6 months after Columbus returned to Spain, he headed back across the Atlantic, this time with 17 ships and over 1,200 Spanish colonists. In November 1493, he anchored off the coast of Hispaniola, only to learn that the men he had left behind had been killed and their fort destroyed. Abandoning the ruins, Columbus founded a new colony called Isabella. Many of the colonists were Spanish nobles. They had come expecting to get rich, and they refused to plant crops or do other manual labor. They accused Columbus of misleading them with false promises of gold, and many of them headed back to Spain to complain to the government. Hoping to find more gold and save his reputation, Columbus began exploring the interior of Hispaniola. There he discovered enough loose gold to make mining worthwhile. He then decided to enslave the local Taino and force them to work for the Spanish, mining gold and planting crops. In 1496, Columbus headed back to Spain. In the meantime, his brother Bartholomew founded a new town named Santo Domingo on the south coast of Hispaniola, closer to the gold mines. Santo Domingo became the first capital of Spain's empire in America. Columbus made a third voyage to America in 1498. After arriving on the northern coast of South America and studying the volume of fresh water at the mouth of the Orinoco River, he wrote in his journal, "I believe that this is a very great continent, which until today has been unknown." Columbus made one final voyage in 1502. He mapped the American coastline from Guatemala to Panama before turning back. Reading check. Describing. Describe the results of Columbus's voyages. Spain claims America. After Columbus had shown the way, Spanish explorers and settlers flocked to the Caribbean, hoping to become wealthy through conquest and trade. By the early 1500s, the Spanish had explored the major Caribbean islands, established colonies on Hispaniola, Cuba, Jamaica, and Puerto Rico, and begun exploring the American mainland. The Treaty of Tordesillas. Before colonization could begin, however, Ferdinand and Isabella had to establish their claim to the new lands. Portugal had claimed the right to control the Atlantic route to Asia. To resolve the issue peacefully, they appealed to the Pope for a decision. In 1493, to prevent a war between the two rival Catholic nations, Pope Alexander VI established a line of demarcation, an imaginary north-to-south line running down the middle of the Atlantic. This line granted Spain control of everything west of the line and Portugal control of everything east. King John II of Portugal accepted the idea of division, but he asked for the line to be moved farther west. The following year, the two countries resolved their differences over the dividing line in the Treaty of Tordesillas, named for a town northwest of the Spanish capital, Madrid. The treaty moved the line almost 1,000 miles, or 1,609 kilometers, to the west. The Treaty of Tordesillas did two things. It confirmed Portugal's right to control the route around Africa to India, and it also confirmed Spain's claim to the new lands of America. Unknowingly, however, the line had been drawn so far west that it cut through part of South America, giving much of the land that is now Brazil to Portugal. Naming America. Interestingly enough, Columbus did not give his name to the new land he had encountered while trying to reach Asia. In 1499, an Italian named Amerigo Vespucci, sailing under the Spanish flag, repeated Columbus's initial attempt to sail west to Asia. Exploring part of the coast of South America, Vespucci, like Columbus, assumed that he had reached Asia. Vespucci made his next voyage in 1501, this time commissioned by Portugal. He sailed far south along the coast of South America, and he eventually came to the conclusion that this large landmass could not be part of Asia. Vespucci's descriptions of America were published and widely read in Europe. In 1507, a German scholar named Martin Waldseemüller published a study in which he proposed that the new continent be named America for Amerigo the Discoverer. Continuing Spanish expeditions. Even though Europe now knew that the Americas were not a part of Asia, explorers continued to chart the region. In 1513, the Spanish governor of Puerto Rico, Juan Ponce de Leon, sailed north. According to a traditional story, he was searching for a wondrous fountain that was said to magically restore youth, although historians have disputed whether or not this was really his motivation. In any event, De Leon did discover a land full of blooming wildflowers and fragrant plants. Before leaving, he gave it the name Florida, which means land of flowers. Spanish explorers continued to search for a passage to China and India by sailing west. In 1510, Vasco de Balboa, a planter from Hispaniola, trying to escape his creditors, stowed away on a ship heading to the American mainland. There, he founded a colony on the Isthmus of Panama. After hearing tales from Native Americans of a South Sea that led to an empire of gold, Balboa hacked his way across steamy, disease-ridden jungles and swamps until he reached the opposite coast. There, in 1513, Balboa became the first European to reach the Pacific coast of America. In 1520, Ferdinand Magellan, a Portuguese mariner working for Spain, discovered the strait later named for him at the southernmost tip of South America. After navigating its stormy narrows, he sailed into the ocean Balboa had seen. Its water seemed so peaceful, or Pacific, that Magellan gave the new ocean that name. Although Magellan died in the Philippine Islands, his crew continued west, arriving in Spain in 1522. They became the first known people to circumnavigate, or sail around, the globe. Reading check. Analyzing. Why was the Treaty of Tordesillas important? The Columbian Exchange. The arrival of European colonists in the Americas set in motion a series of complex interactions between peoples and environments. These interactions, called the Columbian Exchange, permanently altered the world's ecosystem and changed nearly every culture around the world. From America to Europe. Native Americans taught the Europeans local farming methods and introduced them to new crops. Corn, which colonists soon adopted as a basic food, traveled back to Spain on Columbus's very first journey and then spread to the rest of Europe. Other American foods, such as squash, pumpkins, beans, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, chili peppers, peanuts, chocolate, and potatoes, also made their way to Europe, as did tobacco and chewing gum. Perhaps the most important discovery for Europeans was the potato. European farmers learned that if they planted potatoes instead of rye, about four times as many people could live off the same amount of land. Europeans also adopted many devices invented by Native Americans, including the canoe, the snowshoe, the hammock, the poncho, the toboggan, and the parka. From Europe to America. The Europeans introduced Native Americans to wheat, oats, barley, rye, rice, coffee, dandelions, onions, bananas, and oranges, and other new citrus fruits, none of which existed in America. Europeans also brought over domestic livestock, such as chickens, cattle, pigs, sheep, and horses. In addition, they introduced Native Americans to a range of technologies, including new types of metalworking, new techniques of shipbuilding, and new forms of weapons, including firearms. No beneficial European import, however, could ever offset the dreadful effects of an invisible one, the bacteria and viruses that caused such diseases as influenza, measles, chickenpox, mumps, typhus, and smallpox. Native Americans had never experienced these diseases and had no immunity. Exposure led to catastrophic epidemics in which millions of Native Americans died. The movement of disease, however, was not one way. Native American illnesses made their way to Europe as well, where they infected millions of people. Unlike European diseases, Native American illnesses did not lead to a catastrophic collapse of the European population. No one in Columbus's time could have imagined the course of events in the Americas that have led to the present day. Some people felt that the tragic epidemics and military conquests that devastated the Native Americans and the subsequent introduction of slavery overshadow the positive effects of the exchange Columbus initiated. The human drama that unfolded over the next few centuries, however, also led ultimately to the founding of the United States. Despite tragic events along the way, the people of the United States managed to build a nation that honors the worth of the individual and protects the rights and freedoms of its citizens and others around the globe. This, too, is one of the legacies of Christopher Columbus. Reading check. Describing. Why did millions of Native Americans die as a result of contact with Europeans? Social Studies Skill Builder, Reading a Timeline. Why learn this skill? When you read a timeline, you see not only when an event took place, but also what events took place before and after it. A timeline can help you develop the skill of chronological thinking. Developing a strong sense of chronology, when events took place and in what order they took place, will help you examine relationships among the events. It will also help you understand what events caused or were the result of other events. Learning the skill. A timeline is a kind of chart that lists events that occurred between specific dates. The number of years between these dates is called the time span. For example, a timeline that begins in 1400 and ends in 1500 would have a time span of 100 years. A timeline that begins in 1490 and ends in 1500 would have a 10-year time span. Timelines are usually divided into smaller segments or time intervals. If you look at the two timelines below, you will see that the first timeline has a 30-year time span divided into 10-year time intervals, and the second timeline has a 6-year time span divided into 2-year time intervals. Practicing the skill. Sometimes a timeline shows events that occurred during the same time period but in two different parts of the world. The timeline above shows some events in the Americas and in the rest of the world during the same time span. Study the timeline and then answer the questions. 1. What time span and intervals appear on this timeline? 2. What two important events took place around AD 1300 in North America? 3. How many years before Ptolemy's geography was published did the Vikings reach North America? 4. When did Pope Urban II begin the Crusades?